In early 2016, Maddie Rich was in her sophomore year at Cornell. And something started to happen, something she thought would never happen. Up until then, she says she'd been pretty confident and self-assured.
But getting to college, very new environment, Cornell's a bit of a pressure cooker, and also deciding, like, hey, I might as well do some more exercise, get a little more in shape, because, oh my gosh, there are these Ivy League athletes around me. That's really inspiring. And then also, in general, just eating less because, I have to go to the lab. I don't have time to eat anything. So that kind of accumulated over a couple of years.
Maddie did not know what was happening, but she knew something was wrong.
I was really physically unhealthy, so my mom and I were trying to figure out what was going on, going to all these different doctors. And just one day we were on the phone and she was just so upset, like, why are you falling apart? I don't understand what's going on. And I was definitely, like, sitting there with a cup of, like, watered-down soup that was going to be, like, my main lunch. And for some reason, I couldn't eat it, and I just started crying. I didn't understand. Why is it so hard to just eat this stinking cup of watered-down soup? And she immediately snapped into, okay, this is a crisis.
A crisis was an eating disorder, anorexia. And Maddie got help quickly, 3 weeks in a residential treatment center. And at first, Maddie thought that was it.
I got out and was like, I'm all better. Like, you should have just told me I had anorexia because I'm a scientist, right? I just need to eat more and then I'm all better. And look, I'm the best at getting better because I got out in 3 weeks instead of in 4 weeks or in 5 weeks. I'm so good at this. This recovery thing, whatever.
Sounds so Ivy League.
<I know. laughs>
That other voice you hear is Julia Sin. She struggled with her own eating disorder. She had symptoms of both bulimia and anorexia for a long time before she got treatment. Julia has been healthy for 7 years now. She says she's no longer controlled by her eating disorder. And Julia sat down with Maddie for our series Been There, connecting people on either side of a shared experience. Because Maddie still has questions. Even after intensive treatment, she's realizing that recovering from an eating disorder takes time.
The semester after that, in the fall, again, I was like cutting up potatoes or something and just started crying because, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to eat these and I really don't want to eat these and this is a problem. There have definitely been hills and troughs, and when you're caught in the troughs, you don't know how you're going to get out of it. And it's frustrating right now because I feel like I've done so much. I've gone through all the motions. Why am I still stuck here?
Yeah, totally. You know, for so long, and I was struggling for like 7 or 8 years, and I didn't want to get better. It's like, obviously I was really unhappy, but there's this defiance, you know, like, I like it, or I'm better this way, or this is what I want to be doing. I would say 80% of the struggle of getting into recovery was being like, I don't want to do this anymore.
But I think part of the problem is I'm still kind of lost at how do I handle daily things? I mean, I feel so like there are two parts and one will take over if I let it, and I'm kind of letting it.
Yeah, there are two parts. You know, one's the dark part that wants to destroy you,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like the dark side is like stronger. It just is what you've been focusing on. And I focused on it for like 8 or 10 years. So there was a lot of fuel in that fire.
Yeah.
But every day I put a little more fuel on the other fire, which is like being patient with myself and being compassionate and listening to what's going on in my body.
Yeah.
Whatever, that's all a long way of saying every day I have to be like, oh, I've been scrolling through Instagram feeds of really skinny models for 20 minutes. Like, maybe this isn't good. Or like, oh, I actually did skip breakfast on purpose. It wasn't because I was too busy or blah, blah, blah. Like, checking in every day to see what I'm doing and where it's going.
One of the things that I do that really, really helps me is rock climbing. That's
I'm a climber
kind of like,
too.
Oh my gosh. But whenever I get on the wall, I can just feel the pure joy of moving and being strong. And afterwards, it's okay to eat. I can justify eating. But when I'm not doing that, then it's very hard. Or when I'm injured, like a couple weeks ago, I injured my elbow and it was like, crud, my elbow hurts. But it also was a huge emotional blow sitting and watching people climb and not eating as much as I definitely should, and then just getting angrier and angrier because, of course, you're hungry and your body wants food. And so dealing with rock climbing as both a very healthy, healing thing that makes me love myself, but also as something that can definitely throw me off the cliff.
Something that helps me, especially rock climbing, is that, like, you know when your body's hurting, right? Like, how did you injure your elbow? Were you just, maybe you were climbing too hard or too long?
Yeah, definitely.
So what an amazing opportunity to listen to your body so intuitively. I mean, what if you just, I know this sounds like a nightmare, but what if you just didn't rock climb for a little while? What would happen to you? Like, would you die?
Perhaps. I mean, you asked that kind of as a joke.
I mean, would the world end?
No, obviously it wouldn't. But I can't imagine myself without it. And maybe that means it's definitely too much of a crutch.
That's why I said to you, like, what's going to happen if you stop rock climbing? Because what will happen to me if I don't? I'll be fine. My life will go on if one day is different from how I thought it was supposed to be. And this helped me heal from disordered behavior. I had to recognize that it was okay that I had relapsed. Just like it's okay if I can't make it to the gym tonight.
Yeah. Even when I'm doing better, it's like there's chained to my ankle a dead body that I'm just dragging around with me, and it's there all the time, and I don't know how to get rid of it, and I don't know if it'll ever be getting rid of.
I'm just gonna, like, be super real with you, Maddie, that, like, it probably is always gonna be there. But that doesn't mean that it has to be a cloud over your head or a chain on you every day. You know, it's like a little yappy dog, but it's like eventually it becomes part that you're just like, that's there. And some days it's really loud, and some days and weeks go by where it's not, and it's just sleeping in the corner, but it's gonna be there. And I don't want you to get disheartened or scared of that. And it's almost empowering to recognize that, because when you're in the depths of eating disorder behavior and thoughts, you feel like defined by it. It's like all you can think about. So there's just something empowering to, like, owning your eating disorder without letting it own you.
That's Julia Sin. It has been 7 years since she got treatment for her eating disorder, and she was talking to Maddie Rich, who is recovering from anorexia. They talked to each other for our series, Been There. And if you are at the beginning of a big change in your life, let us know. Email NPR crowdsource at npr.org and put Ben There in the subject line.